All right, so next week we're going to start our normal habit here as we come together and worship, as we open the Word, is to walk through books of the Bible. Next week, I'm really excited. We're starting a journey through the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and that will take us through the spring as we look at Genesis 1 through 11. And today we're looking just in one Sunday here at the called church values, what we value, and looking at the four core values that we hold high as Hope Valley Church that shape what we do and that we believe are God's design for His church. Okay, and so I'm excited to be there today. It'll be a little different as we'll be in a few different passages, but first I want us to open to Acts chapter 2. If you're using one of the Bibles on the chairs, that should be on page 620. This passage we're going to read here is just one of these incredibly beautiful descriptions that God has given us of His church, of the New Testament church. And we're seeing it in its like earliest days, right? We're seeing here in the beginning of Acts that Jesus has ascended back to heaven after the days He was here on earth following the resurrection. He's ascended back. He said that the Helper will come. He has sent the Holy Spirit, that is God with us, that dwells with us after He has left. And we see the church just exploding. We see it multiplying rapidly. And we see this incredible description here of some things that were happening in the church. So let's read together in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." We'll talk more about these specific verses here in a moment with our second value that we'll see today. But see this just beautiful picture. The church is not a building. The church is not a one time a week time slot in our calendar. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is a living thing. The church is brothers and sisters united by the blood of Christ. And today as we look at this, we come first to the first core value. A phrase that we say often is to center on the Bible. To center on the Bible. That is foundational to who we are as a church. We do not want someone to be able to come to a service or a small group or something that Hope Valley Church is doing and walk away and say, "I'm not sure if they care about the Bible." We want that to radiate because the Bible is God's word to us, and it's authoritative, and it is trustworthy. And it is our source of life and knowledge and truth. We see in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." You see, as we read this, we're reading in these verses about the Word of God, but we're also, even just right here, as we see that the Word of God is inspired and it's profitable, and as we see the things that are listed there, we're learning about some of the functions of the church even. We're learning about some of the things that we're to be about as a church and that we're to do for each other. And that is so important for us to pick up on. So let's look at those things. It says that the Word of God is profitable for, and the first thing it says is teaching. The Word of God is profitable for teaching. for us as a church to grow as disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus, we're to be teaching each other from his word. There is no other source of truth about God. Like, the Bible is where we get knowledge of God. That is where we know his ways. We know who he is and his character. And that as God reveals that to us, and as the Spirit helps us and leads us in growing in knowledge of his word and knowledge of him and interpreting that, it is profitable for teaching. But it's also, it says, profitable for rebuking, which helps us to understand more of who we are as the local New Testament church, is that there is a necessity if there is a brother or a sister or someone claiming the name of Christ that is doing something contrary to the teachings of the Bible, that our biblical Christian duty is to rebuke. Is the next word it uses, correcting, is to correct and rebuke and to instruct. Okay? Now, if that's a brother or sister in the church, that is with love and gentleness, and there's a whole process and things that the Bible helps us and instructs us on there. Because once again, that is our source of knowledge of God. But the Bible is for teaching. It's for rebuking and correcting, and it's for training in righteousness. It's profitable for training in righteousness. As we seek to know who God is, and as we seek to live in fellowship with him and with each other, we're seeking to grow in righteousness. Now, in our catechism question, we were looking at those first three of the first 10 commandments there, right? And in that, we have that God was giving the law to the people, okay? And in the Old Testament, we see the nation of Israel, and they're striving to keep the law. And, of course, none of them were totally capable of that, right? And so they had a sacrificial system in which they would come and make sacrifices to atone for their sins and sacrifice to God in those ways. And what we see, though, in that whole time, throughout all of the Old Testament, from right after the fall, is that God is pointing towards one who would come. He's pointing towards the Messiah, the Redeemer, who is Jesus the Lord. And that when Jesus came and lived without sin, he was able to become the perfect sacrifice. That when Jesus went sinless to the cross, he was taking on the penalty for our sins, that we could be redeemed. And so now we receive righteousness not by keeping the works of the law, but by the blood of Christ, by faith alone in Christ alone. And the grace, as we just sang, the powerful song words we just sang about his grace. So as we talk about the righteousness we've received in Christ, we seek to grow. A word we use a lot is sanctification, that we are made like Christ, but it's a process that God is continuing to do throughout our life here on earth. It's continuing to shape us more and more into his image. He's growing us in holiness and righteousness. And the way that we are trained in that, the way that we know what that looks like, is from the Bible. And in these verses, though, it says that it's profitable for these things. Then it uses this phrase, so that, verse 17. It says, so that the man of God, so that the person of God here is complete, equipped for every good work. It is through the Bible. It is through centering on it. It is through learning and growing in it, finding the profit of teaching and rebuke and correcting and training in righteousness, that we become complete and equipped and ready for the good works through his word. When we gather, the Bible is the center of what we do. When we cast vision and pray and seek God's will for the future, we are seeking it according to his word. We can know without any doubt that in any way that God moves among us as individual believers, among us corporately as a church, that anything that God does will be in total alignment with the teachings of his word. We know that with certainty, without a doubt. And I do want to just, as we talk about the importance of the Bible, we were talking about this Tuesday night in our Hope group, small group time. I want to mention it again for those of you who weren't able to be there. One of the greatest blessings in my life is the time that I spend just intentionally reading the Word. And one way, there are many, many ways to go about that. We do have one, just a Bible reading plan that's on the table right back there. You're welcome to grab that. It is a chronological one of just going through the events of the Bible in the order of that they happened. Sarah and I have been doing that together for the last week, and it's been a great blessing. And there's some resources, there's a website on there, there's some resources and podcasts and things to help with that and to help understand more of what you're reading. But we believe that's foundational to the life of a Christian, is to be in the Word of God. It's foundational to who we are as a church, to be centered on the Word of God. Second thing is that we as Hope Valley Church commit to live as family. The passage we read to open in Acts chapter 2 shows so much of this family dynamic within the church, right? And God's family excels in times of need, is one thing that comes out really clearly there. Now, as we think about family, we can think about, especially as we think about like on shows that we watch and movies and in entertainment, like it's the dysfunctional family that rules the day, right? And let's because it's funniest, right? And we can laugh at that, and we can think about that. And some of you might be even thinking, you're like, hey, there is not a family on a TV show that can even hold a candle to the level of dysfunction my family has, right? and some of us, we all have those elements, right? And our earthly families differ greatly. They differ tremendously. You might have nothing but fond and loving and deep appreciative memories of your earthly family. Or you might have a lot of heartbreak and pain when you think of your earthly family. Or most of us have a mixture of those things. We have some things in our families here on earth where we grieve over. But what we see here is that God has saved us, not just, and when I say the word just, I'm not minimizing the benefits of our salvation, but he has saved us not just to eternity with him. He saved us also into the family of God. He has not saved us into isolation. He has not saved us into just reading the Bible and praying by ourselves and feeling like that's all we need to grow in a relationship with God. No, he has saved us into his family. He has given us brothers and sisters in the body, the bride of Christ. And here's some things that we see in that passage in Acts 2 that we read a moment ago. Some specific things here that we see that it says. It says that they were devoted to a few things here. The first, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. So in these days, they had these men that were called the apostles. Initially, we see these as like the 12 disciples who were with Jesus. Judas betrays him, right? So we see the 11 that remain. We see, but then in the coming years here, we see this extended some. We see guys like Paul. Paul was not one of those original disciples, apostles of Jesus, but Paul was a contemporary. And we see in this first century, it extended there to those who were witnesses to the life of Christ. As we see the apostles' teaching here, we see at the very beginning of Acts, like this guy Peter, the one who, you know, we're often better at remembering people's failures, right? And we often just remember Peter for denying Jesus three times on the night of his arrest. But what we see here is this beautiful sermon that Peter stands up and gives at Pentecost. And we see the way that God is building his church, the way that God is spreading his church through these apostles here. Now, as we understand this, as we look at the words apostles' teaching, we can see that it is in the Word. We can see that these apostles in the first century that were there, we have their written words in the Bible, in the New Testament. And so the apostles' teaching that we're gathering around the Word, as we're just talking about, they're devoted to that. They're also devoted to the fellowship. Now, man, the church I grew up in for a number of years, like, we would use the word fellowship a lot, but it almost always just meant food, right? Now, food's good, but fellowship means a little bit more than that, right? It means coming together around the things of God. It means that our conversations are saturated and are motivated by who God is and talking about how he is moving in us and praying for each other and those things, right? It doesn't mean that we're robots and we don't talk about normal things and we don't sit back and just enjoy each other's company, but it's shaped by the things of God. We fellowship as Christians. And our fellowship as Christians should look different than our buddies from work who don't know Christ just getting together. Even when we get together without an agenda, it's not a Bible study or anything else, it should be shaped by our fellowship with Christ. We're devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the fellowship, devoted to the breaking of bread, to coming together, to sharing meal together. It says they're joyful in this, and coming together, breaking bread, coming together in the Lord's Supper, coming together in these ways. They're intimately a part of each other's lives. In ways, you notice here, as you see these things, it's hard to fit this description of the church into just a programmed one time a week service, right? It feels deeper than that. It feels richer than that. It feels like there's more that we're supposed to be here, right? And it says, finally, they're devoted to prayer. Prayer. So essential, yet so easy to neglect. So easy to make it just a passing thing where we realize we are walking in prayerlessness, or we're just trying to do the motions and do things on our own. But what we understand from the Bible is that everything that happens for as we think about Hope Valley Church, as we think about this church that's a year and 3 months old, for this church to be built and for this church to be glorifying to God, it must be an act of God. And we must be begging of God to do that. We must be coming before him in prayer and asking him to do the work of reaching our community with the hope of Christ. We see these things are devoted in. We also see that they shows us what those things, the fruit of it, shows the results of this. Shows first we see that they were filled with awe. They're in awe. We see that there are wonders and signs being done, that there's God is moving among the people. It says that they had all things in common, like that they're working to meet each other's needs. They're sharing, they're sacrificing to help each other. So that as they broke bread, they're doing it with joyful and sincere hearts. Their hearts are shaped by this. That they're praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. That's interesting here. Even in first century Eastern world here, as they're praising God, they're enjoying favor of people. Now, this is a hostile environment at the same time. The apostles were talking about, they're almost all going to meet their death as martyrdom for the name of Christ. But yet, they're also growing in favor. So we forget, while there's opposition, the church is also growing rapidly. And that's one of the things, as we talk in a moment about the next value, which is be a blessing, one of the things that we believe and we pray for in our community is to have favor with our neighbors, to have favor with our coworkers and our classmates and people in our community. And we see that they're growing in that. And finally, we see that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What an amazing thing that is here, that God was adding to their number daily, that God was saving people each and every day. We pray for that. We pray that God uses us not because of anything we can offer, not because we are anything special, but that God chooses to work in our community, that God chooses to bring people back into relationship with himself here. That's our prayer. As a church, we center on the Bible. We live as family. And third, we want to be a blessing. In Matthew 25, there's this passage here. Jesus is talking, and it comes to this verse in verse 37. There's a little bit that's happened before this. There's a little that happened after, but I think you'll understand just from these verses as we see here what he's getting at. Matthew 25, verse 37, he says, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Jesus is saying, we understand it this way, right? Especially, I love verse 40, it says the king. It's understanding here this place of who Jesus is. Rightfully so, he's the king. But as we think about the king and we think about the things that the common people would be willing to do for the king, that list is a whole lot longer than the list of the things that the common person is going to be going out of their way to do for the least of these. The person in need. The person without status. But Jesus turns those tables as the Word of God, as Jesus so often does here, right? It's counter to what the culture teaches here. He says, whatever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters, you do for me. We are here to be a blessing. A phrase we use often is we want our community to know us as a blessing, not a burden, right? We don't want to be looked at by, now, sometimes, you know, there can be, you know, someone offended, someone by something we teach or something like that, and that's going to happen. We believe that. If they believe something different about the gospel. And we will stand on that all day long. But we also, though, believe that in the ways that we can offer hope and encouragement and light to our community and to those who don't know Christ, we want to do that. And we want to be a blessing. Just in the last month, a couple of the big ways we were able to do this on a larger scale, like is with our Night in Bethlehem event last month, where we had, I think it was like 238 people come out for that. And what a fun, encouraging day that was, to just be a blessing. The gospel was in it. The truth of Christ was in what we were doing there. And we pray and hope that changes lives. We're also doing this, though, not with strings attached, but to bless our community. We believe that is foundational for us to have an ear with our neighbors, is them to know that we're here for the good of the place, okay? We're also able to, with that same mission team from our sending church in Oklahoma, we're able to do some staff gifts and notes, handwritten notes for about 200 staff members at two different local schools right here in the community. If you've been around during the summer, you know that all summer long we're in the parks and doing our camps in the parks and parties in the park and those things. And one thing we hear so often is someone saying, "Wait, why are you doing this? And why is this free?" And we could say, "Hey, we're here to be a blessing." And we, if the person affords us a little bit more time, we're able to say, we've been blessed by the love of Christ. And we're here to bless others, and we're praying that our neighbors and our community know the hope that we have. And as a church, that's also part of what, and this leads right into the last value we're going to talk about. As a church, we're very focused on where we are. We're not focused, and we're not trying to, like, reach people in Park City, okay? Or Tooele, you know? We're not trying to, like, reach people that live 45 minutes away. We're trying to reach this west side of West Jordan, South Jordan, West, like, where we're at. Because we can't be a blessing to a 40-mile radius. But we can really focus on our relationships where we live. We can focus on being present here and being known in this community and blessing it directly, and that people here will begin to know. And it might be, understand this, it might be 8 years down the road that they come to a point in their life where for some reason they're open to the hope of Christ. And they are now aware of this church that is here. And they have seen the blessing that this church is to their community. The last thing today is, as a church, we exist to multiply. We want to multiply everything we do. The ending of Matthew's gospel so powerfully gives us what we call the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verse 16, it says this. If I could get there. It says, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, to spread the gospel, right? That's why we're here. That's why our family is here in West Jordan, Utah. That's why Hope Valley Church began. That's why we're gathered together today. But it also influences as we pray and seek God's will and seek God moving in and through his local church. Because we understand that, as we just said, we're focused on where we are, where we physically are located, which also reminds us that there is a great need for a very, very large number of more Bible-centered, gospel-focused churches across our state and our nation and our world, right? And the New Testament shows here this rapid multiplication of the church. And we believe that this is God's vehicle for expanding his kingdom, is through his church. You know, a question that I've been asked many times, especially as, you know, we have many churches in different parts of the states that support the work we're doing here, and the mission teams that you guys see when they come out, and from those partner churches we have. And often from people of those churches, I'll ask, it's like, okay, so what is success here? Like, what does that look like? Or I'll offer this description to help them understand, because, you know, a lot of times we can just think of, okay, you started a church, so you're probably hoping that you get as many people as you can, that people are good, right? Yeah. Probably hoping maybe you can build a building, own your own building, and the things like this. And a way that I've described that is that if 10 years from now, there's hundreds of people in Hope Valley Church, and we own a beautiful building, but we have not seen another church planted out of Hope Valley Church, that would not be what I view as success. But if 10 years from now, we're smaller than that, we're renting space still, but we've seen a couple churches planted, we've seen people going out, we've seen more Bible-centered churches in our valley, in our state, in our communities around this country come out of what God is doing at Hope Valley, then I would say that is successful. Now, we know that all of these things are dependent on God's movement and God working. But I want you to understand that, to know that that's our greater value, our greater prayer. And one thing that God has, even just in the last few months, helped me is, because that's hard to wrap my mind around, is it's easy to say we were about that, but it's hard to figure out, okay, but how does that actually happen, right? How does that happen from like the 25 people that gather here right now in this one-year-old church? And just this realization here that when things in nature, right, as humans, as animals, as plants, things multiply when they're mature. And so often I think that a problem we can have in churches is that we can say and believe that it's good to multiply. We can believe that it's good to desire to plant more churches, to expand that ministry. And we can say, hey, but when we get X amount of people, we'll be in the place where we can afford to do that, where we can afford to lose some people. But I don't think people who say when we get X amount of people ever find that magic number. Is what you find is when you get close, the number gets bigger. Is it's always going to hurt. It's always going to be sacrificed. It's always going to be loss to send people out. Because remember, we're living as a family. It's hard, but it's the gospel. It's the Great Commission. It is essential. And so in that, this realization that it's not about a magic number, it's about the maturity of the body. Maturity comes with time, not numbers, right? We could have 500 people and not be mature as a body. And so here let me just share a prayer that I've began to pray specifically, and invite you to pray that with us as a church. A few parts of this. First is that God continues to strengthen and grow Hope Valley Church. That does involve bringing more people. That involves bringing people to the gospel, people coming into relationship with Christ. That involves bringing more believers into the body here. We pray that we grow as because it's in that need to grow, to become mature, to in the as we age, that we become able to multiply. We pray also that God brings us people that desire to be trained and prepared to plant a new church, to lead out in that, to pastor that. And here's a specific prayer that God's laid on my heart, is that in September we passed 1 year as a church. My prayer is that at the 5-year birthday of Hope Valley Church, that we're launching a first church plant with someone leading that church that we have spent a couple years training, and they've served alongside of us, and that there are people from the church that are going to help in that. That's not, as we said, focused on a special numerical number, but on a spiritual growth, because mature things multiply. And lastly here is that we start this process, as that happens, whenever God blesses us in that way. 5 years is just a number I'm praying for, right? God can move quicker. It could be later. But is that at that time, we begin that process as a church again, right? And it probably can take a little less time that time. But that also, that this new church that has been planted begins that process. And that's where you get from addition to multiplication, right? Is because now you have two churches that are seeking to plant other churches and to multiply. A few years later, you have four, right? And you see how that expands. That is a hope. That is our prayer. Please pray that alongside us. Please continue to seek that. Today, the point of all of this, last year we spent 4 Sundays in January looking at each of these values. Today, this year, we wanted to do it a little more condensed here. But we think it is so important to continually be remembering what guides us as a church, to center on the Bible, to live as family, to be a blessing, and to multiply everything. Today, as we respond to that, we'll have a final song we'll sing. We'll also have a chance just to pray and respond to however God's speaking to you today. Maybe God is calling you to be deeper in His Word. Like I said, there are reading plans that are helpful in that this year that would take you through all of the Bible this year. Maybe there's another resource you want to use for that. That's great. Just read it, okay? Dig in. Maybe it's in another way. We also have back there on that table what we call our next steps process, which is just highlighting what we believe are kind of the steps that we see in uniting with Hope Valley Church. The first of those is conversion, which is to place faith in Jesus for your forgiveness of your sins. And if you have not done that, then know that today is the day of salvation, that you are invited to trust in Him, to call on the name of Jesus, and that He will save you. The next step that's listed on that is baptism. What we call believer's baptism is to show this demonstration of what Christ has done within you as you're placed under the water and risen to walk in this newness of life and the likeness of His resurrection. It also talks about church membership, talks about serving in the church, has our statement of beliefs on there. Today, I don't know what the takeaway is for you. I pray that for all of us, it is a greater, just a greater understanding of the beauty of God's local church, of the value of it, of our role in it, the blessing that it is. And if there's specific ways God's calling you to unite with the church or to take that next step, whether it's baptism or membership or serving in a way, know that we're always available to talk about that and to help you walk through that and know more of what that means. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with the idea that you chose and allow me to pastor and to lead this church. It has been such a sweet blessing, Lord, to be a part of this church, the people that make up your church here and your local churches around the world. Lord, thank you. Thank you for not saving us into isolation, but into community. Lord, we pray that you will help us to exemplify these things we just spoke of. Lord, lead us in a focus that is centered entirely on your word, the Bible. Lord, grow us as family. Lord, bless others in our community and through our lives, through our walk with you, through our actions this week. And Lord, lead us to multiply. Lord, in the near term, lead us to see more disciples. Lead us to see more people coming to know you. Lead us to see more D groups and small groups and things like that going on. And Lord, we pray that in the coming years, Lord, you will lead and you'll provide and you will bring and send people out from here as we get to celebrate another church coming into existence for the purpose of spreading your gospel. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Thank you so much for our salvation. Thank you for the privilege of coming before you today.